Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, welcome to the SC Report. It's Wenen here and JT on the other end of the line. Unfortunately, couldn't be in the same room tonight for multiple reasons, but you're kind enough to join me on Skype. So how are you going, JT?
Yeah, good, mate. It's not our usual candlelit affairs. We gaze at each other, into each other's eyes and talk Supercoach on a Wednesday night, but it's all good. I reckon it's that second pot of the week that's slipping you up there, mate. You're working far too hard.
Well, maybe. It was only 15 minutes, but I'm a bit disappointed. You're on your phone. I've got my laptop. I've even turned the HD camera on. The full ability for you to be able to see me right now, and I just can't see you at all. So you're kind of breaking my heart.
Mate, if you could just raise that camera a little bit more to eye level, that would be fantastic, and I can concentrate then. Not right. The only catfish in the Supercoach world here. That's why my camera's not.
I was actually about to make a catfish joke, but I'm glad you've taken that one. Okay, so don't forget, guys, subscribe to the podcast if you can, and also leave us some reviews. It helps us, make our way through the charts, but also subscribing just means that you can get the latest podcast automatically straight into your podcast feed without having to do any work at all. We've now got three podcasts running through the week. So the Sunday Solo Nick Pod, my Wenen's Teams Analysis on the Tuesday, and then the fantastic SC Report, which we're bringing you tonight. So pretty sure the only ones nationally that are doing this, JT, three Supercoach podcasts in a week, unheard of, groundbreaking.
Mate, how good are we, right? I mean, we don't give good opinions, but quantity over quality, right?
It's all about trying, mate. It's not how if you succeed or not.
We have fun.
We do.
At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
We do. Okay, so we've got a stake bet that we forgot to raise last week. But Wilf and Guy, two former champions, they're talking about success. They've achieved the Everest of Supercoach. They've won the whole thing overall. They thought it'd be a good idea to pull a little fancy little champions podcast together that is runs on the same night as us, and get around about the same kind of downloads and everything. Or great for them, fantastic. We kind of position ourselves, JT, as just being two guys sitting in a bar having a chat about Supercoach. We don't profess to be experts on it. We don't profess to be not make mistakes. I mean, you did bring in Wade Egan, so. Lesson well and truly learned there. We're just the battlers of Supercoach, and that's who we are. We decided that let's just take one for the battlers here and face some real experts, previous champions, and our stake bet of the year. It's going to be run through to the end of the Supercoach season. It's going to be our combined total scores versus Wilf and Guy, and then whoever wins will get taken out to a lovely steak dinner. So it'll be the SC Report versus the Champions podcast. And if you haven't subscribed to that one either, make sure you do. Lots of great content there. A little bit different to ours, a little bit more serious, lots of stats, good to listen to. But I reckon we're within a big chance here, JT. What's the points tally currently sitting at?
Yeah, it could have been better if I didn't make a couple of poor decisions last week. But if we look at Wilf and Guy, so Wilf is dragging the chain on his team there with 11.563. He hit a 1,300 last week, though, so good on him. And Guy as well on 11.594. So together they're 23,157 points. But we are only 91 behind him. So that's a captain call or getting your reserves right in a week. So I'm sitting there, sorry for that, mate, but I'm 11,450, sitting in about 5K, and you are flying at 11,616 points. So it's amazing to think it's been, what, 10 rounds of NRL Supercoach, and between the both of us, we are only 91 points away from them. And just on the stakes, like, they're 50K annaires, whatever that might be. So they're rolling in it, right? So whatever stake that we get if we win this bet is going to be absolutely amazing, right? And we're holding them to that.
We are holding to that, but then, you know, Wilford's probably going to turn up a day late.
The dog might eat the steak.
No, I love you, Wilf. I love you, Wilf. Okay, that's it for the intro. And now let's jump in to see how we're going overall.
Around the grounds.
So, JT, is there an improvement in your rankings this week?
Mate, I hit a 1,200 last week and I dropped something like 80 spots. So, wow. I'm still in the top 5, still in the top 5K. I'm sitting about 4,880th. But yeah, isn't it a crazy couple of weeks here? So, last week, 1,300 was barely par in that top 5K. And this week, 1,200 wasn't. So there's been some insane scores. How are you faring, mate? You're a little bit, as we said, a bit higher than I am.
Yeah, not doing too badly. I creeped up in the rankings last weekend with a pretty solid score over 1,300, but it's just below 1,300, sorry. But it seemed like everyone was around about where I scored. So I crept up to just in the top 1,500, which is not too bad coming into the bye round. So relatively happy with that. But our Young Legends League jumped up to the top 7th overall, which is fantastic. So hopefully we can start pushing through. And I'm pretty comfortable that we will, particularly with the bye rounds coming up.
Yeah, especially if Tommy Sangster gets his act together. He dropped back a little in the pack last week, but I think he's on holiday somewhere there. So as long as he's following the Supercoach world. And I think we'd probably be a little higher. If I might share my horrible rookie story of the week. So I put this one up in my weekend wrap. But, and apologies to you, because now I feel like I have to play for two people, play for you and me with the stake that we've got going on. But out on a Saturday afternoon with my lovely girlfriend, we're having a few beers.
Future wife.
If she plays the cards right. Out there having a few beers, and I thought I'll trade in Hudson Young. I'd planned that a last minute sort of thing. Liked his value, so I brought him in. And to do that, as you know, we have to do about a billion shuffles for some of these trades. So I moved people between fullback and centre, and second row and centre, and 5'8", and all that kind of business. And thought, great, signed off. How good, Hudson Young in my side. Everything going to plan. Get home, start watching the Rabbitohs and Raiders game, and look at my fullback Corey Allen just absolutely stinking it up as he is wont to do, and thinking, God, thank God, like at least he's there for round 12. How good. Flick the app on just to check his score and find out that he's actually playing in my reserves. In some unknown fashion, I've managed to stick the reserve on him instead of Kalen Ponga. Absolute disaster. It meant I didn't play Fifi on Sunday. We all saw how that ended. Cost me 80 points or thereabouts for the week. Just some stupid move out on the drink, not concentrating. That's the kind of rookie error that's typified my year. So anyone out there that has also had a bit of a faux pas like that, would love to hear it. Would make me feel a bit better. But yeah, absolute rookie error.
So as we did say, we are obviously not the experts. And JT, do you even Supercoach?
I clearly do not. I can't even say it's my first year. Like, I've gone past that. I've played this thing for 4 years now. I should know better. But anyway, the beautiful Queensland sun and the beers I was having, the welder's dog. Also put that one up, the lemonade. Anyone interested in that, go have a look at that purple bit of greatness there. Had a few of those under the belt, so we'll blame it on the welder's dog.
All right, good stuff. Let's jump into the news.
This is the news.
So with the TLT news covered last night on the standalone Wenham's Teens Analysis podcast, we don't have too much to discuss here. Going to be very, very brief, but a few tidbits coming out today. And probably the biggest one has been DWZ, who's put his the white flag up and wants to leave the Panthers. Things are seemingly getting a little bit too tough there. He's been dropped, and then he's just asked for an immediate release. And rumours are circling that he could be on his way to North Queensland or to the Parramatta Eels.
Mate, we're bloody linked with any outside back or fullback that's off contract or walking out of their club these days. It's a sad time for the Cowboys, but that's where we are. But yeah, very interesting news coming out of there. And Nathan Cleary was a bit coy today as well, talking about some of the deeper-seated problems at Penrith here. So all seems to have gone belly up for them this year. And it's a shame because this guy's the New Zealand captain. And he, as you said, throwing up the white flag and chasing offers elsewhere. So just seems to be a horrible place to be at the moment.
It does, but Supercoach wise, that means that looks like he's got the wing spot cemented with Josh Mansour coming back. So he should be a cheapie that's on the bubble next week, which is good news. A player that doesn't look like he's going to be there for round 12 is Nathan Cleary, with reports surfacing today that a pack was made between Gould and Fittler that Cleary would not get dropped for Origin. So don't know if that's a media built-up, but they are basically saying that he's a lock-in for that number 7 jersey, which, make of that what you will. But I think we'll see Cleary's name be called out on Sunday night. Tavita Panga Jr. has been potentially a guy that's going to play for New South Wales. I think that's where his allegiance is. But he's come out today to say that he's going to be playing for Tonga, which is an interesting one. They're going to have a super, super good side, and looking forward to that next World Cup.
Yeah, they've been on the rise the last couple of years, and it all started with Andrew Fifita and Jason Taumalolo making that call prior to the last World Cup. So great to see for the international game. Bit of an interesting play. I don't know if Pangai was as set for an Origin jersey as many people think. Heading into it, obviously he's been floating around that for a while, but good on him for making that call there. And I guess he means another body for anyone that still holds for round 16.
And the last bit of news here is that Matt Moylan looks set to play, named in the reserves yesterday, but all the news today suggests that he will be a late in for the Sharks. And also what I've kind of been reading is that Dugan will shift to the wing and then Gray will drop out of the side. So that's fantastic news for Sherry, but very much a wait and see on the late mail.
Yeah, we're watching Stilesy's Twitter for that one there. Although I'm not playing Sherry this week, but would love a few more price rises.
That is it for the news. And now we're going to jump into the main segment of the week. The Welder's Dog Unpopular Supercoach Opinion of the Week, brought to you by our great friends at The Welder's Dog, a fantastic brewery in Armidale, which is in country New South Wales. If you haven't been there, go check it out. Go check the brewery out. Plenty of places around there that do stock it, and also all around Australia. I'm just waiting on a list from the guys, and I will share it with you all about where you can go and try the fantastic beer or another beverage, because tonight I am enjoying one of their ginger beers, JT. It's super tasty, mate. I know you've had one before.
Mate, I've still got a couple in my fridge at home. They are going down beautifully. Sadly, I don't have the Welder's Dog with me. I couldn't find them in your secret hiding spot around the office here, so I'm going without tonight. But I hope you're enjoying it, mate, because it is an absolutely beautiful drop.
I am. So let's get stuck straight into the Supercoach opinion, unpopular Supercoach opinions of the week. JT, let's start with you. And one guy that just made his return back to the NRL, looks like he'll be playing round 12, but you don't think he's a great buy.
No. So my Welder's Dog unpopular opinion of the week is that Dylan Walker is just a forget. So I've seen a fair bit around him. He got a 59 last week. He scored a fluky try there, and he's all the rage now because he's about 300K or so, and he's playing that buy round. But I just don't see it. I don't like it. I don't think you need to be wasting trades on this guy. So a couple of things there. He's fresh back from a reasonably long layoff. So everyone knows the off-field sort of turmoil he was going through. We know how emotional and how, let's just say it, idiotic this guy can be. So he's one bit of cheek from the opposition away from a lengthy suspension for punching or something like that. So he's just someone you can't trust in your side week to week. He's not kicking goals, so people thought he might be coming back and resuming the goal-kicking duties, but Ruben Garrick has taken that role on quite nicely, and obviously DC, when he gets back, might take that over himself. But he's not got that string to his bow this year, another reason to forget. We look at last year, like he did nothing. He was playing at 5'8 for a majority of the year and just getting no involvement. He looked very clunky in that Manly side. He averaged just 34 across the year. He played a couple of games at centre there, but pretty much nothing there as well. So I don't see, obviously he's got a pedigree from a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago when he used to be relevant in this game, but if his name wasn't Dylan Walker, people would not be talking about him. He'd be another mid-range plotter that people aren't going to waste their trades on just for the round 12 coverage. So I actually looked at the pricing tool on our good friend's NRL Supercoach Stats website here, and if he averaged a very, very generous 50 from here on, his price would rise by maybe 100K. And at that point, it's more how do I sell him, when do I sell him? And this is not a guy that you're going to want to play week to week. I don't see it. He's fresh back. There's just too many question marks around him. And so you're basically relying on one big score in round 12 to justify this. I don't see it. He's not a gun. Don't be wasting trades at this stage of the year on an unproven, out of match fitness guy like Dylan Walker. Don't buy it. Don't see it. Disagree completely with people talking about him.
And I agree with you, JT, unfortunately. So without that goal kicking as well, I'm not too interested. And you made a very good point that if he was, you know, anybody anywhere else other than Dylan Walker, people probably wouldn't flinch at him. I mean, Brad Parker has been playing there and, you know, doing relatively well, but probably producing pretty similar scores, and no one's talking about bringing him into the side. So you make a very, very valid point. So my Welders Dog unpopular super coach opinion of the week is that Clint Gutherson is set to regress. I believe he's hit his peak and he's not going to match what he did over the first few weeks of the season. And my points are pretty short. We can I'm waiting for a retaliation from you here, JT, because I think that you might still be interested. But he's got his contract, mate. So he was playing for a contract over the first 2 months of the season. That's sorted. So he got paid. Now I just think that that has a big impact on his output. The Eels stink. Their performances over the past couple of weeks, headlined by the thrashing to the Storm in the Magic Round, just really, really don't bode well for a fullback that doesn't kick goals. Their draw is relatively tough over the bye round. So they've got games against South, Sharks, Broncos and the Raiders before their bye in round 16. All of those sides now are hitting form, even the Broncos. They've had two really good performances in a row. He was set for back-to-back horrible scores without that late line break that did really save him. So, you know, they're all the reasons of why you shouldn't be getting him. And I understand there is some upside there. The only thing I would say, and this kind of goes against him not being a buy at some stage, is that I think he's going to drop a lot in price, and he could get down to maybe the, you know, right down into the low 400s. And at that price point, he's going to be pretty hard to ignore if he does return to form. But my overall point is that I think we've seen the best of Gutherson for 2019, and I think it's all downhill from here.
Okay, I disagree there. So you mentioned the goal-kicking thing. Well, he wasn't goal-kicking at the start of the year when he was absolutely killing it. So scrap that. That's not a valid point. The fact that he's got his contract has absolutely no bearing on what he's doing. Like, you look at what he's done last year and the year before that. This contract stuff, I don't see the validity in that, if anything. And I have no idea what it's like to be an NRL superstar like Clint Gutherson, but if anything, the fact that that's now the weight of that is off his shoulders might open him up even better. He played the might of the North Queensland Cowboys last week. Everyone's going to struggle against us. We're world beaters. We're undefeated. We're going at the top. So you can basically just draw a line through that aberration of a game. I just can't see this guy going back to the 400K price mark that you got. You've obviously probably have used the pricing tool to work that out. Have you plugged some of the numbers for Gutho that have him going down to that 400K? Like, what has he got to hit, basically? What are you hoping for or death riding him for from here on to look at him as a buy-in option in a few weeks? Is it like an average of 30 or 40? Because I just don't think a guy like Clint Gutherson is going to hit that. And he's had a couple of bad games. His team's been horribly out of form, but they're back playing at home this week. I think some people are actually sticking the straight C on him. They're that confident. So I think based on this small sample size that you're going off, the last two poor games, I think you need to look more long-term at what he's done throughout the season. Parramatta have hit a bit of a bad patch, but they're a genuinely good attacking side when they're on, and I think this year they're going to be on more than they're off.
Okay, valid points. I disagree with basically everything you've just said then. So good, we're off to it. In terms of the price, if he scores 45 or averages 45 over the next three rounds, his price will be around about 416,000 before his buy. So he's going to see a massive decrease of 50,000 if he scores only 45, just even after this week with that huge break even of 115, currently priced at 500k. So it really doesn't have to do that much to drop right down. I don't think he's going to go below 400, but with that tough set of fixtures coming up, I can definitely see him averaging 45 for the next 4 weeks or so. Cowboys not even going to retaliate there. And in terms of what you're saying with the contract, I wholeheartedly disagree with that, because players, and it's been proven through analytics in basketball fantasy particularly, that players that are in a contract year have fantastic seasons. And then as soon as they get paid, as soon as they get their contract, downhill from there. And I'm sure that if we looked at it and said, okay, well, who in the NRL has been going for a contract over the past few years? And then once they've signed the contract, do they regress immediately that year after? And I think you would find that they do. So yes, there's the stuff going on with their mind games and everything, but at the end of the day, they're playing their absolute heart out to get paid as much as they possibly can. And then once the ink is dry and their next 4 to 5 years is completely looked after, you know, if you look at yourself, if you work really hard, you get a promotion. You've worked so hard to get to that. I think that your performance straight after that is going to deteriorate somewhat, because you've been putting in, you know, some lots of late nights or whatever just to get to that point. I think you just check out for a little bit and then you get going again. So I'm kind of thinking there's a lot of good options, and Gutherson could be one. He could be extremely cheap next week, and I'll definitely look at it. But I am concerned that we're not going to see what we did over the first 2 months, which, you know, frankly, he was averaging close to 80 and the top center wing. So when I say regress, I mean that I can see him going down to about a 50 to 55 average for the rest of the season. Not hitting what he was doing over the first or the opening 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this guy play before, but he just does not look like the type that's going to share his work or be relaxed now that he's got the contract. And the person I'm thinking of there that goes against what you're saying is Jason Taumalolo, who's signed a 10-year contract, could basically put his feet up, but chooses not to week in, week out. And if you look at the guy from a supporter in the stands perspective, this guy is one that puts in for a team that hasn't often put in over the last decade or so, being the Eels. So personally, it's hard to say without knowing Gutho personally, but you look at the guy and the way that he plays the game of football, he loves getting his hands on the ball. He does the dirty work coming out of his own end. His base has always been great. You just look at some of their games at home this year, especially at that against the Dragons there to open, the Tigers there to open the new stadium, and then against the Dragons there. For whatever reason, they love that brand new stadium, and they're playing a few games coming up. So they've got the Penrith Panthers, who are an absolute rabble this week, and you've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs in bye week next week. So great chance there to be hitting tons or close to. Like that's the risk you're taking not getting him. And he's got the huge break even and whatever, and I understand not getting him this week, but I reckon he's almost, I've put him down as a must-have for the buy. That's how highly I think of him, and obviously my opinion.
Mate, I promised that
I brought him in.
I brought him in
for that Storm game, yeah. And I'm still triggered, but whatever.
Mate, I promised the fans to put away that shocking horn from last week, but if you continuously just keep dribbling on and going on for like 5 to 10 minutes talking, we're on a time limit here. Like, you just need to shut up. Like, just stop talking. You just talk
we're
so...
We're not at the 2-minute drill. We're not at the 2-minute drill.
I know,
drill,
but you're taking up so much time here. So unless you want that horn to return, mate, just, you know, keep your stuff quite succinct and then stop.
All right, we'll be snappy. We'll be snappy.
Well, we're talking about being snappy. Let's snap right into the next segment. And this is a brand new one, JT, and I'm pretty pumped up about this one. What about you?
Yeah, well, I'm still insulted and in shock that you would dare say a waffle, but no, I am. I'm very excited. Please launch in.
So for the four of you out there that may have heard Nick's cute little giveaway on his shit, I mean solo podcast on Sunday night, then well, we are ready to fight fire with fire on the SC report and to celebrate a new segment, which we'll get to very soon. And thanks to our friends at The Welder's Dog, we have a special gift pack to give away to the winner of our challenge for the week. That sounds pretty good, JT, doesn't it?
Mate, I'd be keen. I'm not allowed to enter, am I?
No, you're not. But do you want to know what the challenge is?
Mate, please. What's the challenge?
Well, you may have noticed that you've seen very little of Nick this season. I mean, he's previously been on the SC report, written the odd article here and there. So no writing, and he's not... you've replaced him in the FC report, mate. So he's been given the boot from that. He's actually been forced to say his own podcast on the Sunday night to get a look in. Why? Why, you might ask? Because he was fired. Too many mistakes, burps, coughs, crap jokes, and just general shitness. You, the Supercoach community, deserve far better than the rubbish that was coming out of Nick's mouth and content last year and the many years before. Enough is enough, JT. It got to the Brett Morris article in the preseason, and I just had to fire him. So we replaced him with the new co-host, JT, and I think, you will agree with me, but we haven't been better placed.
We haven't, but he's gone places, and I think it's just the less stress of being on the pod and writing articles every week. It's wild opinions and wild trades have worked for him, but yeah, we're getting less complaints.
Well, getting less complaints, less stress about not having to do any research at all. And just getting his facts right. So what does this have to do with our newest segment? Well, we all love that rage trade, right? At about 1 p.m. on a Monday, straight after lockout. So this segment from now on is where JT and I will name our rage trades of the week and effectively state who is fired from our team. So what do you have to do to win the fantastic Welder's Dog gift pack? Simple. Remember that great catchphrase by Donald Trump in the hit show The Apprentice?
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
That's the one. So in 20 words or less, let us know how you would have fired Nick this off-season in your best Donald Trump impersonation. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or email. The best and most creative Trump impersonation wins. So JT, before we put it out to the public, what's yours?
Oh, Jesus. Here's my Donald Trump. There are too many Kiwis on your podcast. You need to eliminate one. Far too many. You're fired, Nick. Oh, Jesus. Won't be doing that again. Apologies.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Okay, so the newest segment of the SC Report, you are fired. JT, who are you firing this week?
Mate, I was very reluctant to fire anyone, actually, this week. I was all set to hold some trades because I've been burning them like crazy. But this year, Jaden Ockenbaugh's gone. And I know you've got a little bit more to say on him, so I'll leave you to do your piece because I waffle too much. But I'd just have to say, Michael Morgan, you're not fired, but you're on probation. And that's because I love you, and I'm sure you'll come good. But man, you're cutting it close to the... You're walking on very thin ice here, Morgo.
Mate, he scored a 60 last week.
Yeah, he should have had more. He got a line break taken away from him. But outside of that, I'm more thinking for my Cowboys here. So super coach-wise, he was fine last week, but needs to do more. Not doing enough. Too lazy.
Mate, your Cowboys stink.
Yeah, we're undefeated at the moment in the last week.
Mate, all he had to do was last till round 12. And Jaden, you couldn't even do that. You know what? Jamal Idris has better hair than you. So Jaden Ockenbaugh, you are fired.
Oh, went straight for the hair. That is a low blow.
It's all I've got. It's all I've got.
Yeah, the old Lisfranc injury, eh?
Yes.
What a pain in the buttocks.
Anyway, they will get better. I think next week's going to be a big one with plenty of decisions to make before round 12. We'll come prepared with our own You're Fired of the week. And don't forget, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or email. Write them in. Send even a video clip of yourself impersonating Donald Trump and telling Nick that he is fired and the best and most creative reasons will win. And the only way that you can know if you've won is by listening to the winner on next week's podcast. So repeat, so the winner will be named on next week's podcast, and the best and most creative impersonations will win. Okay, that is it. Let's we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're going to jump into the two-minute drill. JT, the
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Feedback was pretty strong. The public spoke, and what the masses wanted was to get rid of that Diplo EDM foghorn from last week. So that's gone.
Yeah, I feel like I told you that probably 2 seconds into your sampling of it. So well done. You're a week late, but it's gone. Thankfully, for everyone listening, you will never hear that on this podcast again.
Was it really that bad though?
Yeah, it was ordinary. The fact that people complained about it should say enough. Anyway, they listened to us for a good half an hour. They listened to the waffle, and then they got to that bit and their ears were shredded. It was horrible. I told you a whistle or a cowbell or a yee-haw or something, but no, you had to go for the most degrading thing.
Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
Not just the waffler on a lyre now, because I said that would never happen again. But that's the last time, yeah. I promise.
Well, you played Corey Allen, you traded in Wade Egan, you waffle, you go on and on and on, and then you hate the DJ Foghorn.
Yeah, all great reasons,
you're
mate.
Dead
Wade
to
Egan,
you're dead to me.
Ton.
All right,
whatever.
The two-minute drill, so we got five to run through this week. Let's start with Manu Ma'au, who, you know, he's kind of shaping up as a trade-in option. I'm going to throw it straight to you, JT. Is he someone you're looking to bring in for round 12?
He is someone I'm looking to bring in for round 12 if he holds up his form next week. So he's definitely a short-term option because you've got Nathan Brown looming on the injury return there. So once he's back, it more than likely means that Ma'au shifts to Niokore's edge, and he doesn't see the base that he's getting now. But as soon as he plays lock, he's always a valid option. Just look at his base per minute, base points per minute. It's out of this world here. So he's at almost one, I think. And that's crazy good for a guy that finds attacking stats as well. So I'm not looking for him this week just because of his break even. I think we can sit and wait for a little while longer, but definitely next week. I see him as one of those guys you bring in, but you're only bringing him for round 12. He's not a long-term option. I see people justifying it by saying he's a keeper, but he's a in and out. You've got to have the trades to do it. But I really like him for next week.
All right, just hit it then as well. So for me, I kind of agree with most of what you said. Great base last week with 59. Played, I think, 60-odd minutes at lock, which is the first time he's gone past 50 minutes so far this season. But for me, the big question mark is what happens when Nathan Brown returns in round 14, 15? I mean, Sean Lane seems to be locked in for 80 minutes per week. I think Arthur just loves him in that role. So likely that Mao will shift to the other edge. You know, what does this do? I think that his base will get impacted by that. He's not going to be producing the same kind of output now. But in saying that, he did play, I think, every single game, bar one, last year before he got injured in round 15 on the edge, and he averaged 63 points in 73 minutes. So if he is going to play 70-plus minutes, then he's got the pedigree to produce the points and available at center wing. You know, I can see the reasons why, but I think we did say it on a podcast not too long ago, JT, do you really want him and, say, John Bateman in your starting center wing, or do you want one of these guys and then three that potentially could smash out 100 each week? Getting very attractive in price now. I'm like you. I'll wait a week, see how he goes, and then look to possibly bring him in next weekend.
Cool.
Okay, so the next one is, what about the Raiders' centre pairing? So you've got Jared Croker, who has played in the centres for a long while, but we've just seen Kotrick shift there from the wing with the massive injuries that the Raiders do have in their backs. So let's just talk about both of those, and let's start with Croker. You've got 30 seconds on Croker starting right now, JT.
He's a boring pick. Like, I know he's killed it the last few weeks and he's got the 60 and 70s, but and the fact that he goal kicks, but he's just boring. Like, I don't like it. Unless you're up the top there and you need a safe centre wing week to week, you'd play him. But we're all about risks in this game. And Croker's been up. He's due for a couple of down games now, as he got last week.
Okay, now flip the switch and talk about Kotrick.
Much, much better option. But the thing is, we need to wait and see. So he played his first ever game, I think, at centre last week and scored very handily. His base was far above what he generally gets on the wing there. He comes in about 200K cheaper than Jared Croker. So we all love Nick Kotrick in full flight. Is great to watch, and he's such a gun-attacking player. If he gets his hands on the ball more, he's, I reckon, much better upside than Croker, and for the price.
Bang on. Okay. So Croker, yeah, for me, he's a legitimate keeper option this year. The Raiders have a great draw ahead. They face your boys, the Cowboys, and also the Bulldogs over the next 2 weeks. They've conceded the third and second most amount of points to centre wings. I'm not too concerned about Rapana or Laypartner being out for a lot of time this year. They've proven to score points without those two players. I think, yeah, he's got a great base with the goal-kicking Raiders top four this year. He's not a bad selection, particularly next week at the price. Kotrick, for me, is a surprising one. So I missed the last week's game. I completely forgot that he had shifted to the centres. So from memory, he's about 200,000 less than Croker. So that means you just have to look at him, and he's very tempting. He does have a break-even, which says, you know, he's a buy this week. But very much like what you said, we need to see whether he can produce what he did last weekend, which was 65 points in the centres, with 39 of those coming from base. So I'll watch. I'm prepared just to lose a little bit of cash this week, and if he performs, could consider bringing him next round.
Cool. Next one. Is it too late to jump on the Warriors center Patrick Herbert?
Mate, for me it is. I got him at the basement price, but where he's at the moment, right at what, 260,000, I think, is his price. I don't know. Last week's performance was fantastic, but before that he scored 23. So if you're going to be spending, it's 276,000 for him on that money, I'd probably prefer to take a risk on somebody like a Kotrick or even like a Dylan Walker, who do have some kind of pedigree in the past. You know, Herbert could, you're playing the mighty Broncos this week, and he could put up a dud 20 points. So not at that price for me. What about you?
No, I disagree. So I'm actually bringing him in this week. So I said last week that I would, but obviously other plans got in the way. But I've held him back. He's obviously killed it last week. Penrith just couldn't hold this guy back. And that's exactly the game that looks like he can produce more often than not. Playing your boys, strongly disagree. He's due a ton this week. So I'm bringing him in. I'm not worried about the price rises that have come before him that I've missed out on. It's unfortunate, but you can't look backwards in this game. He's a goal-kicking centre who looks pretty secure in that spot there. Loved the way he ran. And we forget that at Suncorp, he could have had a try assist if the scorers woke up in a better mood. So at the end of the day, that 20 or 30 becomes a 50 or 60. So I've loved what I've seen from him so far. It was painful not having him last week, and the price is still right.
Well, if you're bringing him in, I'm definitely not starting him in my 17 this week.
That's what I'm here for. So anyone listening that was also thinking of doing that trade, just don't. But that's the benefit that I provide, that the Wilfreds and the guys of this world can't. Whatever I say, don't do.
So Manta Power has been the one at Manly that people have always looked at in terms of a super coach gun in the front row. But we've got a new emerging player there this year with Adam Vanua Blake. He has to be an option. He's playing fantastic this year. JT, you tell me, are you going to be looking to bring him in as a buy coverage option and potentially a keeper for your front row?
So it's between him and Aiden Tolman next week for me. So both are front row forward onlys, both priced around the same mark. Aiden Tolman, we know exactly what he can do in this game. He's meat and potatoes. He just gets the work done, especially with Dylan Napa being out. He's a genuinely good option for next week. But then you look at this Adam Fanua Blake bloke, and he, when he stays on the park, is just absolutely incredible, the work rate that he gets through. So he's something like 1.5 points per minute. That is an unreal output, and that's better than Tapau. And we've we all carry Marty in our side and very few carry AFB. And I think based on what he's produced this year, if this guy could just bloody stay on the park, he'd be almost a certainty. But it's a toss of the coin between the proven Aiden Tolman and the upside of AFB next week. I have no idea which way I'm going to go. This week is the week I watch.
So before I get into my part, it just in terms of your team structure, I mean, I'm struggling to bring in any front row forward or second row by coverage play at the moment. Who are you bringing one of these guys for?
Mate, it's looking like I'm going to need to be selling a Gerbo, an Arrow, or a Fifita. So I hate doing that, but just for the points for next week, given all the outs that we've had, that's where I'm going to need to be looking. So at the moment, I've got Sean Lane in there, Sam Burgess in there, Tapau in there, and then these sort of Origin guys and Hudson Young. So I'm going to need to make a call on someone there that's not playing next week, and it's going to need to be an Origin guy if I want to get these blokes in. So it's a tough decision to make, but if I need the points, which it's looking like I will, I'll have to make that call.
But do you really have the trades to do that, firstly? And the second part of that question is, have you had a look to see what your points differential would be, say, when you get to round 16 after to making that trade?
Well, it depends. For a guy like Tolman or Fanua Blake, they're actually performing better than some of the guys that I've got in there now. So if Sean Lane wasn't playing round 12, he'd be straight out. Like, yeah, he'd be the number one target there. But you've got to keep him around for that benefit there. But the reason I'm so keen on getting these guys in for points is because I'm sitting in 5K. So I need to do something drastic there, bring in a pod to make up some of the ground that maybe some of the safer and more secure super coach players aren't thinking of. So that's where I'm at. But you're obviously a bit higher, so you might have a different view.
Well, I was kind of considering that. I have been the whole time about trading one of these guys out. But then when I've gone to go and look at what my points differential will be in round 16, it's only about 20 to 30 points. So, and the way I work that out is go, well, what am I expecting, say, a Gerbo or an Arrow to average from rounds 13, 14, and 15 versus, say, what an 8... And who would go, just an easy one, let's say Tolman, you know, that 60 over that period, you're only looking really like a points differential of about 20 to 30. Is it worth the trade? For me, probably not.
But then you're also relying on those Origin players playing every single week and not being rested. So
this is true. This is true. But then if you go and have a look at what Gerbo did over the Origin period last year, playing 70 plus minutes and still smashing out great scores, you got to think that Arrow is probably going to come off the bench for Queensland, do you agree? And then, you know, limited minutes there. Titans desperately need him out there as well. So I can't see their scores dropping too much. And for Fida, I don't know how he comes into the question given that he's not playing Origin and he's available for round 16.
Yeah, so Fifita's more just because he's not playing round 12 and he's carrying those sort of niggles. But yep. if I was to lean one way, Jai Arrow, given the fact that Garth Brennan likes playing around with his minutes a fair bit there. So
I think they've set it on the rotation there with Cartwright playing reduced minutes now, Peachy coming off the bench, and then Arrow playing, you know, upwards of 60 plus minutes. So he seems to have finally figured it out.
Yeah, who knows? I'm going to throw Hail Mary soon enough, mate. So we'll see. Jai Arrow probably gone next week. Fair enough. That was longer than 2 minutes.
Well, I haven't even started on my whether I like Fanua Blake yet, but I've made too many trades, mate, so I probably can't. It's probably going to be more beneficial for me to not trade those guys out than to trade them back in, is what I'm kind of saying. Fanua Blake, so very quickly, so he scored over 60 and 80% of all his games this year, but he's only played 6 of a possible 10 with injuries and suspensions. So you touched on that as well. So he's a massive risk. He's at a fair price, though, and offers more upside, I think, than Tapau. Tapau obviously had a great game last week, but before that, he was very average. So it just depends on your team structure, and that's why I asked the question. I personally can't fit him in.
That's fair enough. I don't think you need to be taking too many risks given your position.
JT, who are your must-haves for the first buy round?
I've got a couple here. So a lot of them are the guys that we already have in our side. So CNK, without a doubt there. Sam Burgess, he obviously had a poor game last week, but he's someone you got to have there. Tau Malolo and Marty Tapau as well. We saw what they did in round 12 last year. Went huge. And then I've said one of either Aiden Tolman or Fanua Blake. So we're sort of saying they're a little bit iffy, but I think you need at least one of them in their great round 12 coverage. Anyway, they're my must-haves. There's really not a lot when you look at that.
No, there isn't, and that's why I'm potentially not making a trade this week, and then also possibly only making the one for next week. Because if I get anywhere between 10 to 11 players, I think that's okay for this round, because you know, round 16, there's arguably more guns playing, and then we really I need to personally save some trades for the run home, because that's where, you know, you're really going to be able to catch up more so than I think round 12. So for me, Lolo, C&K, one of the Manly props or both, and then Sam Burgess are my must-haves for round 12.
Yep, that sounds fine to me. And we've all got these sort of bit part or mid-ranger players as well floating around there. So some people have Reece Martin and Billy Kickow, but I don't think anyone's climbing over each other to get both of those guys in at the moment. And then you've got some other blokes like the Jared Croakers and Mike Acevos, Blake Ferguson as well. Sort of handy players, but no one that you would consider you must have before round 12.
No. Okay, well, that rounds out the two-minute drill for this week. And as we look to close the podcast, JT, what trades are you making this week?
So Ockenbore is going for Patrick Herbert, the only change that I'm making to my side there. So, as we touched on earlier, I really like Herbert's upside for the lead-up to round 16. I think he'll be a valuable buy there, and happy to make the move on Ockenbore this week. So a couple of moves up my sleeve for next week. So we talked about maybe Ma'u or AFB. Blake Ferguson is someone I'm targeting for next week. So I want to see what happens this week at centre. Very interesting there. He's come out and coach has said he wants to play there. So I reckon Blake Ferguson could be a sneaky buy for next week. But for this round, I'm saving a trade. Hallelujah.
Very good. Well, I could be saving two trades to see where we go. It's obviously, I've got Ockenbore that needs to be moved on either this week or next. Potentially flirting with the idea of bringing in RTS. He's got a break even in the mid-40s. I see him as being a must-have from round 13. So potentially, as you were doing, looking to maximize the points, bring him in a week early, know that he has that round 13 bye, and then go after either one of the Raiders centers last week or one of the Eels backs as well. So that's potentially what I'm looking at. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to prevent myself from going crazy over the next 2 weeks, looking to make maybe one or two trades, whereas everyone else could be making four and then saving them a bit more from the run home, because I think I've only saved one trade so far this season, and they're going to be very valuable post-buyers.
You just need to fast forward to like 2 or 3 months from now and just look back and think, was that trade really worth it? Some people just trade for the sake of doing it.
They do.
Perfect round, I reckon, to sit and wait.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's been another episode of the SC Report. Had a bit of fun tonight. Thank you all for downloading. JT, so it's been a pleasure, mate. Never a chore.
Never a chore. So I hope we get a few of those submissions in for the Wildest Dog gift pack. So I really want to hear some of these ones. So Nick gives it to us on his podcast. We're giving it right back here.
Well, okay. How about this? If we do get some really good ones, JT, and there are some audio clips that people send in, we will play them on the Supercoach Report next week.
Mate, absolutely. Break up the monotone waffling of you and I for a change without a horrible siren. I love it. Yep. Voice could be on the NRL SC Report podcast. Like, that's huge. Get your submissions in.
Don't mind that at all. Okay, guys. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Best of luck for this round, and we'll come right back at you next weekend. See ya.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.